If you haven't met me already, my name is Pastor Craig, and I'm blessed to be able to serve here. And it's just been such a blessing as we've journeyed through these last 3 weeks. It wasn't last week's message by Pastor Joey so powerful as we had a look at the power of yesterday, today, and forever. And we have a look, and we're beginning to understand that Jesus is not caught up on a yesterday, today, and forever timeline. It's not like, yeah, Jesus was there yesterday, Jesus is now here, and Jesus will be in my future when I get to the future. No, the timeline of Jesus' divinity is not gauged or not adjudicated by your timeline or your decisions. You see, Jesus is yesterday. Not was there, not, no, he is yesterday. And, say and. And he is today, and he is forever. In other words, no matter how many yesterdays and todays there will ever be, he will always be. The crazy thing about this concept is mentioned in Scripture, according to the Scripture, it says that Jesus is yesterday, today, and forever, is that Jesus is not just present in all three all the time, he's also the same in all three all the time. So what that means is that what you get up to tonight is not going to change Jesus' nature. It's not going to change his posture towards you. It's not going to change his approach to you, his love for you, because he is the same. Now, when we have a look at this Jesus that we admire to be able to keep consistent. Let me tell you something. You know how difficult it must be to keep consistent at that level through all time? I mean, I can't even keep consistent between a 9 o'clock and an 11 o'clock service. Oh, come on. Consistency is not one of my big vibe values. I love, like, shooting ideas out and just going in different directions and feeling it out as we go along. But Jesus, when he opens his mouth, because he knows the power of his word, he values his word. He never has a bad idea that, oh, I wish I could take that back. Because you see, when Jesus speaks, he doesn't just speak for then, that might impact a couple of days or a couple of years or a couple of decades. No, when he speaks, he knows it reverberates out from him in all directions of time. When he went down and made sure that the dead that had died before he came to the earth, he made sure that his resurrection was true for us going forward in time as it was for those before he dropped the word of his resurrection into the timeline of mankind. Jesus, his word, even word yet to be spoken, because how many of you know that Jesus, when he returns, will speak word again. And that word will be true for Adam and Eve as it will be for every saint that will ever know him in the future. Jesus has this incredible ability to speak and be and then move because he's able to know where he's going because what he's spoken will always come to be. Jesus doesn't get distracted by going, oh, I spoke that, but I wonder if I should have spoken that. How many of you have ever bought a home and just when you sign the final papers, another deal pops up on Zillow and you go, oh, I wonder I shouldn't have bought that one rather. Jesus doesn't question himself like that. He doesn't look around. He knows what there is. He knows what his target is. He speaks it. He walks it. He does it. He is it. And so we've been journeying through the concept of what that means for us through this process of Jesus being yesterday, today, and forever. And today's message, we're going to have a look at how Jesus has affected our past and how we affect our moments to make sure that we can walk out our future with Jesus. Because how many of you know that Jesus has commissioned your future and he's redeemed your past? He hasn't commissioned your past. Because you see, Jesus, when he commissions, He commissions with a purpose of the future. When Jesus commissioned his disciples, you and I, he said in Matthew chapter 28, go therefore and make disciples, go. It was a future thing. He was speaking in the moment. They had to be obedient in the moment. They had to go and testify who he was in the past and who he is. How many of you know that who Jesus is in the past is who he is? How many of you know that who Jesus will be in the future is what he was in the past? And so Jesus commissions his disciples because he had a plan and a purpose. He had a prophetic intent when he commissioned you. When he called you, he didn't just call you to say, hey, will you wait in my spiritual waiting room until I return? It's like having all the best power tools in your shop and never using them. Yeah, I've got a power tool on the top. I had a home project. It was a honey-do list. And the plane, the wood planer that I bought, is still in its box because that means I haven't got to the honey-do list yet. So, but it frustrates me every time I get in my car and I look at this planer and I go, I haven't used that yet. Jesus isn't going to commission you and then put you on the back burner. What's the point? Jesus has commissioned. What he commissions, he purposes. Have a look at when he commissioned his disciples in Matthew chapter 28, verse 19 and 20. They had to take that in the moment, Acts chapter 2, and walk out what he had commissioned them. In Acts chapter 2, it's the formation of the church. Peter preaches about what Jesus told him to do, and 3,000 were given that day. You see, we have a past that has been secured by Jesus, and that impacts our moment. And if we can allow his past to influence our moments, our future becomes secured as well. Am I making sense? Because whatever Jesus calls, he purposes. Whenever he speaks, the very nature of Jesus is prophetic. The very nature of Jesus is that, hey, Adam and Eve, you sinned. Jesus is going to sort this out once for all time. That was spoken of in Eden. And the very nature of God's word is prophetic. He calls you for a purpose. Your very salvation is prophetic. Huh? How many of you have ever thought of your salvation as being prophetic? Jesus is calling you out of the darkness into the light for a purpose. He wouldn't have called you if there wasn't a future for you. Come on. You see, because he has a divine plan and a divine future in mind for all of mankind. But you see, we get so caught up in making our past instead of making our past Jesus's past. And because we make our past, we make some pretty weird and crazy decisions in our moments. And the weird and crazy decisions we make in our moments because we haven't put down our past corrupts and messes up our future. And then as we move the crazy moments from here into the future, how many of you know that your crazy moments right now are becoming your past? And how many of you know your past affects your future? Are you getting the cycle? The very nature of Jesus is that he gives us a future because he's already changed your past. How many of you got regret in your life? I wish I could go back and unsay that. Yeah? Kind of every single time I preach from the front here, I go, oh, did I really say that? Open my mouth to change feet. And then sometimes that regret is deep. It's not just, oh, I shouldn't have said that. It's, I shouldn't have done that. I shouldn't have. It's deep regret. But if Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever, we can't go back and change that regret. But Jesus can. So we can't release ourselves by taking on our own past. We can't release ourselves from regret, but Jesus can. And not only does he release us from regret, he also makes his healing available to the person or people we've hurt with our regret. Am I making sense? All we can do is in the moment complain about what we could have, should have, and must have, but Jesus has already done it. He's already changed our past. Moment by moment, as we're adding our current moments to our past, moment by moment in our life, we are wrestling with him. If we get it wrong, he makes it right. If we get it right, he makes it better. No matter what we do, Jesus is correcting your past all the time. Why? Because he knows that if we adopt his past, our future becomes eternal. And we can have that eternal future in the moment. You see, when we allow our past to govern our moments, we are shortening our future and prolonging our past. But if we allow our moments to allow Jesus to have our past, he is shortening our past and prolonging our future. Man, I hope you get that. My future is bright. My past might have included some darkness. But because I've allowed Jesus to shine some light in those previous darkness and regret, now all of a sudden in the moment I can make better, clearer decisions because my past is not governed by my regret, but by Jesus' redemption. And in the moment I can make a better Jesus decision. And when I'm making better Jesus decisions in the moment based on Jesus' past in my life, redemption and salvation, my future becomes eternal. And how many of you know that you can't have a longer future than eternity? But it all depends on our response in the moment, in our moment-by-moment lifestyle decisions and choices. It all depends on his grace in the moment. And how many of you know that Jesus doesn't force his grace upon you? He forces his grace upon your past if you ask him in the present to do that. Huh? Well, the moment you go before Jesus and you say, hey, Jesus, I accept you. In this moment, I receive you. I accept you. His grace is automatically forced on every error, every regret, every disappointment, and every hurt of your past. And he redeems, sanctifies, and saves every one of those negative things of your past right there in the moment. But in the moment, he asks you to make the decision. But how many of you know that Jesus' moments that affect your past are not just a once-off moment? How many of you know that you're living a Jesus moment, decision-making lifestyle moment right now? Your decision to change in the moment your lifestyle is called worship. Correcting your lifestyle is called worship. How do I show that I love Jesus? By coming to church on a Sunday at 9 or 11 and singing a song. No. By actually being obedient and in the moment making Jesus decisions. I could go home with you, but that's not the Jesus best for my life. I could have another drink, but that's not the Jesus best for my life. Dealer, I could spend some more money with you, but that's not the best thing for my life. In the moment, by making lifestyle changes in obedience to the past of what Jesus has done in your life, not what you have done in your past, you all of a sudden prolong your future. And how many of you know that just as quickly as your moments are becoming your past, your future is becoming your moment? And the more we allow ourselves to take lifestyle decisions in the moment that become our past, the better we get at taking our future and making them good decisions in our moments. Did you get that? It's like the hopper. But it all depends on your response to his grace in the moment. And we have to, if we're going to make good Jesus decisions in the moment, we have to know what he's done in the past. Not what you've done in the past, what he's done in the past. And the Jesus of our past has already declared some things. And until such time as they become your past, your covering, your salvation, it's just a church rhetoric that you might hear for all of your life. But you have to make Jesus' past your past. Otherwise, you're going to make some pretty crummy decisions in the moment. What has Jesus done in the past? He has healed. He has saved. He has made us more than conquerors. He has restored our authority. He has declared us victorious, holy, and righteous. Come on, 9 o'clock was erupting with applause at this point. And you're sitting there going, oh, well, yeah, that's what Jesus did. You see, you've got to make it your own. He has redeemed you. Until such time as you accept what he has done and make it your past, you haven't really accepted Jesus. You've spoken it with your mouth. But until such time as you can look back at that pain point and know that Jesus has healed that pain point and you are not going to go back to the pain, but you're going to go back to the peace, Jesus is never really yours in the moment. So I want to ask you today, in the moment, this moment, are you serious about making Jesus' past yours? Because that's how you genuinely accept Jesus. If it's just in the moment, how many of you know that we can lose the feeling of what that means? I can accept Jesus back in 1982, but yeah, in 2022, I'm a right mess. That's because I made accepting Jesus that moment, not in the moment, every moment. He has declared you victorious. I don't feel it. That's because you haven't allowed him to put his past over your past. You want to be covered by the blood? Let your past be covered by his past. What is his past? That he came because he loved you. He came because he wanted to honor you. He came because he wanted to serve you. He came. I need to buy a new microphone. He didn't come to buy me a new microphone. This thing keeps falling off my face. He came because he didn't want you to be trapped by your past stories or the past hysteria of the world. He wanted to liberate you. And he did some things in the past to make sure that the current is in a good shape for you to make good decisions, so that when your good decisions become your past, they now become good decisions with Jesus. So your past becomes with Jesus, so your future can be with Jesus. You reap what you sow. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 3 puts it like this. Every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realm. Wow. The word every in the Greek means not one left out. There isn't one little dot or tittle of the heavens that hasn't already, say already. What's already? Past tense, present tense, or future tense? Teachers? Past tense. It has already. It's not there to be earned. It can't be sinned away. It can't be neglected away. No, it has already been lavished upon us. Every gift. Oh, that brother over there, he's got such faith. Yeah, and you've got the same faith he has. Oh, that brother over there, he just speaks in tongues and flows in the Holy Spirit, and all the gifts of the Holy Spirit that's in him is in you. Oh, that pastor, he can pray, and you can pray too. Oh, that pastor's got such a gift of a healing. So have you. Oh, that pastor just speaks about his salvation like it's real. That salvation is real for you too. That redemption is real for you too. That future is real for you too. That faith is real for you too. That courage is real for you too. That passion is real for you too. Why? Because every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realm has already been lavished upon us. Oh, but you know what my father did to me. Yeah, I do know what your father did to you. He lavished every heavenly realm gift that he has on you. What do you want to do? Wallow in the filth? Or embrace every heavenly gift that could possibly be given to you? I don't know about you, but I want to go home and rip open that power tool and get planing. How did he give it to us? He gave it to us as a love gift from our wonderful heavenly Father, the Father of our Lord Jesus. Past tense, right? Past tense. Let's carry on reading. All because he sees us. Whoa, hang on. Did you see the tense shift in that scripture? Let's rewind. Let's go back. Every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realm has already been, let's go forward, all because he sees us wrapped in Jesus. Huh? So in other words, he gives us every possible gift we have to make sure our past becomes his past, because he wants us to be wrapped in Jesus in the moment. Come on. All because he sees us wrapped into Christ. Wrapped in Christ. What's he wrapped in? You know what? I can tell you now, if you're living in obedience in the moment, wrapped in Jesus Christ, Satan has no access to you. Oh, I'm under such attack, Pastor. I'm under such attack. You know what? You're not being attacked. You're just neglecting your wrapping. And how many of you know that he doesn't wrap you in tinfoil? He doesn't even ask you to go out and get your own wrapping. He takes off the shelf the Father's wrapping. What's the Father's wrapping? The armor of the Most High God. Every heavenly blessing is in that armor. Righteousness, salvation, good news. It's all in that wrapping. And he says, I'm going to lavish on you every wrapping, every gift, everything that the Father is. I'm going to lavish on you, not just give you occasionally, lavish on you. Your wrapping is in pristine condition. If you follow every gift that's been given to your past in every moment of your life. Whew. I'm preaching myself giddy. Another way of putting it is like this. Everything God is going to do for us has already been done in us. That's why we can say Jesus is the same yesterday and forever. Because every single moment that we live in Jesus' past lavishings becomes a wrapped up in Jesus moment. And when we put a wrapped up in Jesus moment with a covered by the blood past, into our future becomes eternal, and our eternal future becomes our next moment. That's why we can say, let your kingdom come in heaven and on earth. In other words, let my future with you become my present moment. Not my past issues become my present moment. No, my future with Jesus becomes my present moment, wrapped up, tied up, completely sealed with every lavish gift in the heavens. But I've still got that problem. Let that problem be wrapped up by Jesus. Satan doesn't have any wrapping paper. He doesn't have any lavish gifts that he can give you. All he does is he pings you about your past. That's all he does. You say you're going to go to church regularly, but remember you made that commitment last year. Look around you. First week of Sunday of the year, and this place is packed. And already we're starting to see commitments dwindle off. Why? Because Satan just reminds people. And all of a sudden, they lose that wrapping. They lose that sense of being in the moment with Jesus. And all of a sudden, the trappings of life become better than the lavishings of heaven. Our past is defined by our current moment, and our future is defined by our past. Huh? We have to choose Jesus in our moments to activate that which he has already done, so that what he has already done becomes the reality of our future. Let me tell you something. There's some stuff in my past that hurt. There's some stuff in my past that if it allowed it to be my past, I wouldn't have chosen the things I've chosen to do. Leanne and I would probably not even be together anymore. I may not even be alive. If I allowed the trajectory that my past was setting me on, it certainly didn't involve eternity, joy, peace, and love. And so when I have a look at my past, I go, I had to have a moment to start having many more moments. So I had to have a salvation moment. If you haven't had one of those, you better get on with it. How many more unsaved, unredeemed moments do you want to have in your life that's completely deterring your future? Just get on with it. Stop questioning and worrying about what other people are going to say and just have a moment with Jesus where you go, okay, Jesus, my past is how I've used to do it. I want you to do my past now so I can have better moments and I can have an eternal future. Finished. Oh, but you know, is Jesus really real? I don't give a rip. Just have a Jesus moment and you'll see how real he is. Oh, but did he really exist? Well, let me tell you something. If you doubt if he exists then, just believe he exists now. Because he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So if you experience in the moment, everything that the Bible has ever told you about Jesus' past, all of a sudden becomes true and real to you. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So if you experience him today, everything that's been said about him in the past becomes true. I don't have to make you believe that Jesus can correct your moment-by-moment decision. And you already know you're lacking in your moment-by-moment decisions. Oh, come on, you know. Even us Bible-punching, Satan-chasing believers don't get these moment-by-moment decisions right all the time. Praise the Lord for the grace of the past. Because my moment decision that I just made now became past, and Jesus has got my past. As long as I keep trying in the moment, I'm good. Keep trying what? Honoring Jesus for what he's done in my past. How many of you know that when I was 4 years old and the last thing I wanted to be around was my father, my whole body began to shut down to prevent him doing what he wanted to do. And even though I didn't know it, Jesus was there. It took me a moment much later in my life for him to give me hindsight of my past with his past intermingled. And with Christian godly hindsight, my past looked a whole lot better than without him. Knowing he was there, knowing he was weeping, knowing he was rejoicing, knowing he was being my father like my father couldn't be. And in that moment when I realized that everything about Jesus in the past became real and everything that I'd ever thought about Jesus in the future became real in my moment. But if I allow Jesus to take over my moments, he takes over my past and therefore Jesus takes over my future. But if I allow my fear to take over my moments, I make some pretty crazy decisions. And my crazy decisions in the moment all of a sudden mess up my past. Now, how many of you know that your future doesn't look too bright when you've got a messed up past? Am I the only one who knows that? Your morality of your past quickly becomes the morality of your future and some. Or your immorality of your past quickly becomes the immorality of your future and some. The abuse of your past quickly becomes the abuse that you dish out to those coming again. It doesn't have to be that because your father was a drunk that you have to be a drunk in the moment. Because if you're going to be a drunk in your moment, the likelihood is that your children will then live their moments in a drunken state and be making the same poor decisions of the past. Praise the Lord that Jesus is in the past, the present, and the future, and that the moment somebody in that chain admits Jesus Christ, that entire chain is broken. But it takes you in the moment to break the chain. But if we're living in fear in our moments, fear of what we used to do, fear of who we used to be, fear of what we have done, fear of what I have said, fear, 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 fear. If I'm living in fear in the moments, I make crazy decisions in the moments. My past becomes crazy. My future becomes disoriented. And now I start to live in more fear of the future. So I make more crazy moment decisions, messing up my past even more because my crazy moment becomes my crazy past. My crazy past becomes my crazy future. I'm tired of even just preaching about a crazy past. I'm tired of living governed by that past in fear of the future. Now, when you're mountain climbing, there's a thing called a friend. It's not the buddy you're climbing the mountain with. It's a piece of mountaineering equipment that what you do is you push it in between two rocks or between in a rock crack. And then you pull on it and it opens out and locks into place so that you can put your full weight on it. You can hook your carabiner in and you're away. What you're doing in the moment secures your future. Why? Because if you make a mistake in the future, your past, which was the moment that you put the friend in now because you've moved up the mountain, saves you. Are you with me? So moment by moment, I'm making sure I'm putting my decisions incorrectly. Not incorrect, incorrectly. I'm securing between the rock crevices and the journey of life. I'm putting anchor points into Jesus, and I'm making sure that in the moment I'm putting them in, and I'm putting them in properly, and I'm getting the job done, because that moment becomes my past. And if my past is faulty, when I need to back what happened in my past in Jesus, if it's shaky, it's going to rip out of that sucker and I'm going to fall. And so we've got a couple of corrosive agents that will undermine our decisions and our pinning ourselves in the moment into Jesus. The first acid that will corrode away at that stabilizing moment point. It will stir up ungodly fear. Destroy your faith. How many of you know that faith and fear are very closely related? We're going to get to that. The first acid that will corrode away at your anchor points in the moment is this: the acid of your own thoughts. How many of you know Jesus has got your past covered? Know of redemption, know of salvation, but you dismiss it because you're not worthy. You're not good enough. You sin too much. You've done too many wrong things in your past. Or some people's permanent favorite, I've still got more I want to do in the future, and that doesn't involve God. Sadly, that's what our world's come to. Sadly, we no longer have a world which lives in regret of not being with God, but lives in the choice of not wanting to be with Him. Ouch. The acid of our own thoughts will erode and corrode us away until such time as every single time we're putting that friend between the rocks, we're doubting ourselves, we're doubting the firmness of Jesus, we're doubting our salvation, we're doubting our redemption, we're doubting our eternity. The second acid that will wear away at our faith is the acids of other people's thoughts. The opinions of others. How many of you made a pretty stupid decision in the moment because of the people you hung out with? I want to say this to you. Show me a man's friends and I'll show you his future. Seriously, who are you hanging out with? Your next piece of stupid is probably a seed sown by a stupid friend. First Corinthians 15:33 says, get away from anybody who undermines your character. Get away from them. Why? Because their thoughts, their opinions of you, their ideas, their conspiracy theories, their past quickly becomes your past instead of Jesus' past overlaying your past. Do not walk with the unwise because you will become unwise. Scripture says, don't walk with the stupid because you'll catch what they got, and it's not the Rona. And then the final acid that wears us down is the acid of the world. The financial control that the world seems to have over us, the complete wearing and tearing down of our Christian morality and principles, the undermining of what a parent should be, the undermining of what a boy is, what a girl is, the undermining of the creation of God, the undermining of His authority over our lives, slowly but surely corrodes and erodes the power of Jesus in the moment to cover our past, to give us a future. And we get into the fear spiral. Now, with fear, managed correctly, can give us to spiral up, or fear can get us to spiral down. And I don't know about you, but I want to use fear to spiral up. Well, how do you use fear to spiral up? Well, let's just go back to our acids. The first acid is your thoughts. And generally, your thoughts are fear of failure. Fear of failure. Let me tell you something. I don't fear my failure because Jesus has got my failure covered. But does that mean I'm never going to fail again? No. But you see, I can either allow fear of failure to get me to spiral down, human fear. I'm afraid of myself. It's human fear. Or I can realize that Jesus gives me a new purpose and a new community to run out my purpose with. Through godly fear, I can spiral up. In the moment, am I making a human fear decision or a godly fear decision? Because godly fear will have me obedient to the principles of Jesus of my past to give me the wonder of my future. Jesus said, don't do this. In the moment, godly fear will say, I'm not going to do this. Okay, I listened to the red letters spoken many hundreds of years ago, and I'm going to obey that. Or, because I think I'm going to be a failure, and I need to get love from this guy right now, and I haven't received love, I'm going to go to him rather than Jesus for my love, I'm going to make a human fear decision. Which one's going to work out better in your future? A godly fear decision will allow you to spiral up. It will allow your character to grow. It will allow your person that Jesus has made you by covering your past with his past to shine. Matthew chapter 16, verse 17 to 19 puts it like this. Jesus replied, you are favored and privileged, Simeon, son of Jonah, for you didn't discover this on your own. But my Father in heaven has, past tense, supernaturally revealed, past tense, it to you. I give you the name Peter. I give you a new reputation. If you allow God to do in the past what he's done in the past, all of a sudden, your reputation is different. Your name is different. You will be a rock on which other people will find their salvation. And the power of death will not even be able to remind you of your past. And the power of death will not be able to overpower the faith of the moment. I will give you the keys of the heaven. What keys? The keys to every lavish gift in heaven's store cupboard. Jesus said, I've given it all to you. Here's the keys. There's the cupboard. There's all the gifts. Go wild. You have refrigerator rights in heaven. I don't have to beg God for forgiveness. I just walk into the heavenly realm with thanksgiving in my heart, toss open the heavenly cupboards and say, give me that forgiveness, Father. And the Father goes, you don't have to ask me. Take it away. Salvation, you got it. Redemption, you got it. And if you ever think that there's a locked cupboard in heaven that you can't get to, here's the master keys. Because the only lock that is being opened that Jesus needs to open that you can't is the locks that exist in your past. Man, that's good preaching. The second fear, that second acid, is the fear of other people's opinions. God in that scripture tells you that you don't have to worry about what they think of you, earthly man-made reputation. You only have to worry about what God thinks of you. And you have to look at Jesus' past to see what God thinks of you. God gives you a new name. Isaiah chapter 50, sorry, is that 62 or 52? Where are my glasses? 62. I'm preaching in the dark here. I'm preaching more from memory than from sight. Amen? It's called faith. The nations will see your righteousness. I'm believing for my eyes to be restored so I don't have to wear glasses up here. Come on now, in Jesus' name. The nations will see your righteousness. World leaders, listen to this. World leaders will be blinded by your glory. What? Well, when we walk out Jesus in our moment-by-moment decisions, we select leaders that are walking out Jesus' moment-by-moment decisions. And when we select leaders that are walking out Jesus' moment-by-moment decisions, those who are not walking by moment-by-moment decisions get put down and get blinded by the Jesus of God, by the glory of God in our moments. But while we're walking in our past, we can't have glorious moments. Am I making sense? You will be given a new name by the Lord's own mouth. The next thing that governs our future is FOMO. People don't come to church because they're worried about missing the game. Fear of loss, fear of missing out, fear of not having what other people are having. Well, I can't go to church today because the Cowboys are playing. Let me tell you something. I just want to lean forward. The Cowboys don't play. They choke. The only thing you need to give the Cowboys is not your attention, but the Heimlich maneuver. I'm joking, Brother Jim. The Don't make the Cowboys past your past. Now I'm really preaching. The only other thing that we get lost is the fear of missing out, the fear of loss, the fear of losing a loved one, the fear of losing what we have amassed. Let me tell you something. If we allow Jesus to amass what he needs to amass, every blessing of the heavens provided to us and lavished upon us, that's the only thing we need to amass. If we allow that to amass in our moments, we won't have the fear of losing. Because the fear of what losing is that a future without what we've got right now. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. What he's done in your past cannot be lost because he is the same in the future. God gives you a new future. Philippians chapter 3 verse 14 says this, I run straight for the divine invitation of reaching what? The heavenly goal. Right now, in my moment, I have to do something. Run for the invitation. Why? Because I'm running towards future, a heavenly goal. And gaining that victorious prize through what? Through the past anointing of Jesus in my life. His redemption, his salvation. Placing faith in the Jesus of the past in every moment changes our purpose, our reputation, and our future, and displaces the acid of our own thoughts, the opinions of others, and the acid of the world that you'll never amount to anything. That makes Jesus in our current moment pivotal. I'm still thinking of the Cowboys. That makes Jesus in our current moment pivotal for a better future. Why? Because he removes the fears created by the regrets of our past and the reputation of our failures and empowers us to overcome fear. So what decisions do we need to take? If Jesus has done all of that in our past, what decisions do we need to take in the moment to overcome fear? We need to choose today what Jesus did in our past will make sure that he removes the fear of tomorrow. All of a sudden, fear, which is the worry of the unseen, becomes faith, and the faith becomes an assured expectation of hope in the unseen. If we can choose Jesus, his past, in our moment. How do we do that? Number one, we need to choose to forgive past, present, and future. What does forgiving past, present, and future mean? Well, if Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and he's forgiven our past, he's helping us forgive in our present, because we're going to need forgiveness in our future. How many of you know that you're going to need some future forgiveness? I'm not planning to sin. I'm planning to walk with Jesus. But how many of you know I was born imperfect? I know it doesn't look like it, but I was. I think you're with me. You are imperfect, right? Okay, but I'm not a sinner. You see, sin has been taken care of, but my imperfections are still to be taken care of when I get my new body and my new mind. So therefore, I know I'm going to fall. But when I fall, in my moment, I'm going to choose to go to Jesus's redemption and forgiveness, not my own fear of doing it and messing up and being put into a fiery lake of hell and condemnation. We have to choose to allow Jesus to forgive the things of our past, because we know we're going to need some forgiveness in the future, so in the moment, I forgive. Because unforgiveness will hurt you. The greatest moment you can have is when you forgive somebody that's hurt you. It's your finest hour. Why? Because you're operating in the Jesus of the past, because he gave you forgiveness in your past, redemption, salvation, so you can have forgiveness in the moment, and we can live in a constant state of grace and forgiveness in the future. Hebrews chapter 12 verse 15 says this, watch over each other to make sure that no one misses the revelation of God's grace, and make sure no one lives with a root of bitterness sprouting within them, which will only cause trouble and poison the hearts of many. Your forgiveness in the moment corrects and brings people back to the realization, others back to the realization that they have a past covered by Jesus, so that they can also have forgiveness in the moment and can have an untroubled future. Your forgiveness in the moment is part of your testimony. What is your testimony? Your relationship of the past with Jesus. What does he have, what did he do? He forgave you. So what do? We forgive. Hebrews 12 says this, that we need to make sure that we're watching over one another. What does it mean? If somebody comes at you with offense, you're watching over that offense and you're covering the offense, not with the hurts of your past, but with the forgiveness of your moment. We forgive to get over fear. Oh, but what happens if I forgive and get hurt again? That's why you're going to need future forgiveness. What's future forgiveness? Having an attitude of forgiveness even though it's not needed. That's grace. Number two, he says, if you want to get this right, be a peacemaker. What does that mean? Apologize to those whom you have hurt. Oh, I'm not apologizing. You know what they did to me. Yeah, but you know what? You've probably done something to them too. I apologize because 9 times out of 10, I'm wrong. Even when I think I'm in the 1 time out of 10 when I'm right. So I'd rather choose to be wrong and let Jesus give me the grace and the forgiveness for the situation and say, you know what? If I triggered anything in you that caused you to behave like that, I'm so sorry. Please forgive me. You don't even know what you did. No, I don't. But it's obviously caused you some hurt. And I don't care what I did, if it was wrong or right. I don't care. I caused you hurt and I'm sorry. Oh, we need to speak about this. Do we really have to speak about this? Can we not just let forgiveness wash that past away? Why do we have to make a point and show us where this is why you need to ask for forgiveness? I've messed up. I need forgiveness. I'm sorry. I don't know what I've done. And you probably haven't defined what you've done. But can we just agree to forgive in the moment and let that forgiveness take care of the past so we can have a forgiving future? And I'm not just talking about what you've said and done. I'm talking about the attitudes you've had, those conversations you haven't had yet with a person, those ones you practice on your own. Some of the conversations I practice, I hope never ever come out my mouth. By George, if I ever had to say any of that, I'd be disqualified as a pastor in a heartbeat. But if I've had it, if I've had angst in my heart, I need to apologize. So if somebody comes up to you in the church and says, hey, I'm so sorry, I've been having bad offensive thoughts about you. What do we want to do? Well, how have I hurt you? I don't need to know how I hurt you. Thank you for coming in. I forgive you. And if I caused anything that caused that angst, please forgive me. Love you, my brother. That's a much better conversation. We need to sit down and just make a list of all the things you've done to hurt me so we can make sure that your forgiveness and your request for forgiveness is big enough. Like, why do we have to try and justify forgiveness? Jesus didn't justify his forgiveness. He gave it away unconditionally. So when somebody apologizes, give forgiveness unconditionally. If you need to apologize, apologize unconditionally. Matthew chapter 5, verse 9 says this. How joyful you are when you make peace, for then you will be recognized as a true child of God. Number three, get past your personal failures. Failure is not a person, but an event. I'm such a failure. No, you're not. You're redeemed. You are saved. You have been made whole. You are holy. You are true. You are righteous. You are a child of God. Oh, but I'll never amount to much. Yes, you will. You will amount to an eternal future at the right hand of God. It has already been done because Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And if you're seated at the right hand of God with his great cloud of witnesses already, you can experience that in your moment. And that makes your past completely different. Amen. Failure is not a person. It's an event. Philippians chapter 3, verse 13 says this, I don't depend on my own strength to accomplish this. However, I do have one, in the moment, I have one compelling focus. I forget all of the past as I fasten my heart to the future instead. Choosing God in the moment is godly fear. A fear that will displace natural fear, worrying about the future. Displace natural fear and give you an assurance that's not a fail expectation. but an assurance of hope. For the unseen future is yours because it is Jesus's. How do we walk out our future? We need to take some moment-by-moment decisions. Do you know that over 200,000 decisions go through your mind by taking one physical step? Think about it. Your eyes are running where you're going. You're making decisions. Your ears are keeping you in balance. There's a whole lot of electrical impulses that are going just between your eyes and your ears. What about your muscles in your legs? As you take the step and you want to change direction slightly, you flex different muscles. That affects different tendons. That affects the surface of your foot, propelling you in a different direction. If you want to walk out your future, have a look at this. How quickly your back foot, your future, your past, becomes your front foot when you're walking. How quickly your back foot, your past, becomes your future. But in those moment-by-moment decisions, those thousands of decisions that are running through your mind, if you keep your gaze fixed on Jesus, your body, your mind will naturally make decisions, directional decisions, tweaks, balances. It will naturally make decisions as you walk towards your future, not trapped and anchored in your past. And now your past swings freely because it's released by Jesus in your moment. And you step not away from Him, but towards Him. And now your redemptive past becomes your faith-filled future. But those thousands and thousands of decisions that run through your mind, need to govern them. Because as I'm walking, I can catch something out of the corner of my eye that makes me take my gaze off where I'm going towards and where I'm coming from. How many of you know that Siri can't tell you where to go unless she knows where you are? How many of you know that you can't get to where you are unless you know where you've come from? How do you know that you're home? Well, I'm not at work. And so as we fix our gaze on Jesus, one little distraction over here causes us to stumble and fall. But you're not a failure. Because in the moment, Jesus is picking you up in the same redemption that He gave you yesterday. He's giving to you again. And we get to walk out our future, not shaped by our past, but shaped by the past of Jesus, who is in our past, in our moment, and in our forever. So there's some in-the-moment decisions that can change your future. And as we pray together, I want to pray through these three decisions that you can make. Father, I pray that right now into the hearts of those who can hear my voice, that they know as they know that their sins are not greater than grace. Father, that your redemption and your forgiveness is far greater than the error of our ways. Father, thank you that through Jesus Christ and what He's done in our past and what He's done in His past, that we are not what we have done, but we are what Jesus has done. And Father, as we walk towards our future with Jesus, may we not be distracted. May we know that in the moment, we can decide to choose Jesus. And in so doing, we are changing our future with you right now in every decision we make. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Changing your future is happening right now. Let the past of Jesus govern your moments so that you can have a future, a glorious, lavish future with Him. Amen.